welcome to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Talk about stuff that's messing with your head and crazy stuff that's happening in the bin. Why? Because many church folks are falling in the darkness. The Bible calls us to walk as children of light. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been dealing with music this week. We listened to like Hillsong. Today I want to look more at just the spiritual danger of music, unbiblical music in our worship service. We talked about that a little bit on last week. We had some folks on. And basically, this is kind of like a continuation. So get close to your radio and listen.
Let me share with you something that I see in the youth group, but I also see in the church at large, individual congregations. Because we have dumbed down the gospel, because we're not preaching the true gospel, and we are using carnal means to attract people. If you use carnal means to attract men, you're going to attract carnal men. And you're going to have to keep using greater carnal means to keep them in the church. So what has happened is this. We have these large churches filled with many unconverted carnal people. But in those churches, we also have this small group of people that honestly want Christ. And they honestly want His Word, and they honestly want to be transformed. They don't need anything else. All they need is true worship of the true God and Scripture being preached to them and lived out before them. That's what they want. Now, I want to tell you the great sin of the American pastor. And this has got me in a lot of trouble, but it's true. This small group of converted people in that local church, all they want is Jesus. And all they want to do is the right thing. They want purity. They want truth. They want Christ. But the pastor, in order to keep this larger group of unconverted people, he caters to them. So while he is feeding these carnal men and women with carnal things, he is letting the sheep of God starve to death. And he is going to stand before God one day in judgment. Listen, brother, if my wife was going grocery shopping, and when she was going out to her car, some men assailed her, attacked her brutally, and you walked by, and you did not want to get involved because you didn't want to cause trouble, you didn't want to put yourself in harm's way, you just wanted everything to go smooth. After all that was done, I would look for those men to deal with them. But I want you to know this, I'd look for you too. Because you had a chance to stand for my wife, my bride. And out of self-preservation or wrong ideas, you did not do it. You're just as much responsible as those men who attacked her. And that's what's happening all throughout America with pastors. It's the bride of Christ. There are sheep in all these churches, many of them, even churches that seem somewhat heretical in places. You'll usually find a group of people who truly want Christ, but the leadership is catering to the carnal and letting the bride of Christ starve to death, impoverished. And that is wrong, and there's going to be judgment for it. And the same thing is happening to the youth. I know young people that say, you know, Brother Paul, I listen to you all the time. And I said, well, what about your church? He goes, well, they don't preach this. It's not what the other young people want. And so they give them what they want. I'm starving to death. A little child of God, it would be better that a millstone be tied around your neck than you cause this little one to stumble.
Hey, you guys, it's Carrie Jobe, and it has been an amazing night here at Unite National Day of Prayer.
It was a pretty crazy night to see that many churches come together. I was so not expecting this tonight. I don't know what I was expecting, but this is amazing. This is so cool that so many of you have come together tonight to come into His presence.
Jesus is offering a reset. He's offering a second chance. He's offering a new beginning. And it's for all of us. This isn't for all of those people. This is for me. I need Jesus.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
You could just feel it. It was saying, God, reset my heart. Reset our church, reset the state, reset the nation. Help us, God, to be in love with you, to be a nation that honors you.
Jesus, will you reset my life?
Jesus, will you reset my hope?
Jesus, will you reset my quiet time with you?
Jesus, will you reset my courage?
Life tonight. There is one supernatural power of God, and His name is Jesus. Jesus.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We worship you, Jesus.
I'm just believing God to do big miracles, that this be the beginning of something incredible. We love you guys. Thanks for coming up.
Now, they have something wrote up. This is a writing. They says the Holy Spirit never reveals Himself in such methods, in such a bedlam of noise. This is an invention of Satan to cover up his ingenious method for making of non-effect appear sincere, elevating, sanctifying truth for this time. Okay. And then they writes, the truth for this time need nothing of this kind in its works of converting souls. The power of Satan agency blend with the din and noise to have a carnal, and this is termed the Holy Spirit working. No encouragement should be given to this kind of worship. And so they don't believe that
no one
the
was
Holy
more vocal
Spirit is working
of
in
rock
all
music
of that.
Than Frank Zappa, one of the most innovative and influential musicians and composers of the contemporary era. From interviews to books to his testimony before Congress, Zappa has insisted again and again, music is only music. It can't hurt anybody. And yet, in an article he wrote for Life magazine, Zappa noted rock's rather incredible power when he quoted Hal Zeiger, one of the music industry's first big promoters. I realized that this music got through to the youngsters because the big beat matched the great rhythms of the human body. I knew there was nothing that anyone could do to knock that out of them, that they would carry this with them the rest of their lives. Zappa further observed, the ways in which sound affects the human organism are myriad and subtle. The loud sounds and bright lights of today are tremendous indoctrination tools. Well, one might wonder how a tremendous tool for indoctrination that operates in myriad and subtle ways and will be carried with us for the rest of our lives can be only music. But leaving that alone, these types of observations by both musicians and people who work in and around the industry leave little doubt as to music's incredible power over its audience. Virtuoso guitarist Eddie Van Halen rightly observed, "Music really is the universal language. It really does have the power to heal."
We've had people who hallucinated. We've had people become violent for no apparent reason and not understand why. Music is very powerful, and it doesn't have to be a recognizable form. The power in and of itself of any sound is enough, which release specific chemicals in the brain and body in order to alter the state of consciousness.
Renowned musicologist David Tame agrees. Music is the language of languages, he wrote in The Secret Power of Music. It can be said that of all the arts, there is none that more powerfully moves and changes the consciousness. Tori Amos echoed this observation when she stated, "Music is the most powerful medium in the world because of the frequencies. You're hitting places in people that remind them that they're more than just this functional being." The artist, once again known as Prince, gave his perspective on the power of these frequencies when he told an interviewer, "The other night I went to a club and I watched the DJ control the entire room. Even politicians can't do that." Incredibly, given his own history of X-rated songs, he went on to reflect on the power of lyrics. "I watched the DJ reach for the new album by B.I.G. and put it on, and the crowd went crazy. I asked him, 'Do you know what he's saying in those lyrics?' He said he didn't know. Then he tried to tell me he wasn't playing it for the lyrics, that for him it's all about the beat. But it's affecting people. Everything we put out there is affecting people. The message matters, my brother." Weighing her own influence as a musician against that of being an actor, Courtney Love admitted that there was a more bourgeois respectability to acting. But Meryl Streep doesn't know the sublime pleasure of standing in front of 10,000 people and making them do whatever you want. Superstar Jimi Hendrix noted another, perhaps more sobering aspect of this power. After describing how central music was to his life, to the point of functioning as a type of electronic church, he went on to tell Life magazine, "You hypnotize people to where they go right back to their natural state. And when you get people at their weakest point, you can preach into their subconscious what we want to say." This power over the subconscious is precisely what science writer and composer Robert Jourdain was getting at when he said in his book, Music, the Brain, and Ecstasy, "Music seems to be the most immediate of all the arts. Music possesses us. It really is as if some other has entered not just our bodies, but our intentions, taking us over."
Well, the music is your special friend. Dance on fires, it intends.
There's probably no contemporary artist who's made a greater study of music's awesome power over the human soul than percussionist Mickey Hart. Drummer with the Grateful Dead, world music devotee, and self-taught musicologist, Hart has spent his life attempting to unravel the mystery that is music. From his testimony before the United States Senate, co-founding the Rhythm for Life Foundation, researching and authoring several books on the subject, including his late 1999 release, Spirit into Sound, The Magic of Music, a book that is a virtual apologetic for music's incredible, even supernatural power, to countless live concert experiences around the world, Hart's belief in the power of music borders on the religious. Describing, for example, the Dead's official archivist, Dick Latvala's devotion to their music, Hart said, In those moments when he was listening, he was communing with God. Several years ago, Hart sent out a request for anecdotal information on music and its power through the vast electronic underground of Deadheads. His letter began, "Dear friend, I've discovered, along with many others, the extraordinary power of music, particularly percussion, to influence the human mind and body." Among the thousands of examples Hart has compiled is his own striking observation of the effects evoked by some music he heard many years ago. "It was my first exposure to the mother rhythms from West Africa that later mutated into my tradition, becoming rock and roll. All I knew then was that whenever I played this music at parties, the room would transform. It was as though the rhythm of the drum was calling up something from these sleek, cosmopolitan bodies that had been asleep. There was a power there I couldn't ignore." Hart is far from alone in these types of empirical observations. Doctors and professional musicologists have also studied this power to transform, creating a whole new branch of medicine called music therapy. And as music therapist Jean Maas has stated, "Music is the greatest power I have ever experienced. I doubt if anything else equals its power to act upon the human organism."
The organized patterning of music can help drive electrical networks within the brain and can help the organization and reorganization of brain networks.
MTV, aggressively reorganizing your brain. Nothing could be more natural.
This ability to organize and reorganize brain networks was given powerful expression by Richard Pellegrino, a medical doctor and consultant to the entertainment industry. In an article in Billboard magazine, Dr. Pellegrino discussed the powerful way music interacts, often subconsciously, with receptors in the brain to produce endorphin highs, to trigger a flood of emotions and images that have the ability to instantaneously produce very powerful changes in emotional states. He closes his commentary with the observation, "Take it from a brain guy. In 25 years of working with the brain, I still cannot affect a person's state of mind the way that one simple song can." And in over 30 years of writing about the simple songs to which most of those brains listen, Rolling Stone magazine agreed. A song or an album, they said, can change your life. A great concert will change it on the spot. And when they're honest, the fans agree.
The music itself just gave you this feeling that you couldn't forget. It was like embedded inside of you. And even if you didn't know what the lyrics...
In most worship services today, in modern-day evangelicalism, if you were all of a sudden in the middle of a song to pull the plug on all the instrumentation, all the microphones and everything, you would find that the congregation is hardly singing.
We very often become worshipers of ourselves. We're not worshiping God. We're simply worshiping the feeling that we're having about God.
When it comes to the issue of music, it's one of those areas where, you know, the battle is likely to continue until the Lord comes home.
What we have done is we have elevated music to, it seems to be, a place above the teaching of the scriptures.
Music in worship has three purposes: codify, unify, glorify. That gets the gist. That the purpose of music in the worship of God is to codify the truth so that it can be sung to the glory of God down through the generations.
Welcome to the family that worships together. In this session, we're going to focus on the important yet very controversial subject of music. And as we consider the subject of music, as with all things, Scripture alone must be our guide when it comes to evaluating music. Scripture and Scripture alone. Well, there's no subject in the church today where there's more disagreement, nuance, confusion. Some people call them worship wars, as there is in matters of music. And the spectrum is so broad, ranging from the people who say, why should the devil have all the good music? To those who believe that there should be absolutely no musical instruments in the worship of God at all. So in this session, you'll hear many voices who will deliver warnings about music in terms of its potential for idolatry, fleshliness, man-centeredness, and really more importantly, disconnection from biblical absolutes. And they'll identify things that you ought to look for, and they'll also speak of the joys of singing and of music in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here are a few questions that we will address.
All right, we're going to stop the tape right there today, but we'll pick back up there tomorrow here on Ghostbusters. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here on Ghostbusters.